did.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another podcast. Sorry it's been so many weeks between podcasts, but hopefully that three-parter we just enjoyed with John Brown on how to hear God gave you an opportunity to catch up. It was quite good, and my spiritual father, John Brown, was such a powerful instructor in the matter of hearing God and how we need to hear the voice of the Lord, especially in these days, in the days we're coming into as a people of God. Well, today I'm so excited to introduce to you my friend Wesley Vickers. He's a young man that you're going to grow to love when you hear him, hear his heart on this podcast. He's just returned from the World Race. We'll tell you more about that, but he is one of the young lions that has been meeting with myself and the young men in our group for the last couple of years, except for the fact that he's been gone so much, but gone doing the work of the kingdom. I'm so glad that he could be here. So what's the World Race about? Well, just pulling off their website, Adventures and Missions, it's the tagline is 11 countries in 11 months. It's called the World Race. It promises young adults, millennials, the chance to live in quote-unquote raw community. Maybe Wesley will tell us more about that and what he learned through that. I like that phrase. Raw community while laboring among the least of these in some of the toughest mission fields on earth. Again, I'm quoting from the Adventures and Missions website. This unique mission trip is a challenging adventure for young adults to abandon worldly possessions and a traditional lifestyle in exchange for an understanding that it's not about you, it's about the kingdom. Well, if nothing intrigues you, I hope that quote from their website did. It certainly intrigues me, and I want to hear more about it. So again, my guest today is my friend Wesley Vickers. He just celebrated his 25th birthday, and he's a fine-looking young man, and I love sitting in his company. Not only has Wesley just finished the most recent World Race, this was his second one. A couple years beforehand, he did another 11 and 11 venture for the kingdom of God, and when he returned from that one is when he joined our Guys Fellowship group, and I got to know him quite deeply for a few months before the Lord called him away again for another one. I'm reminded of a guy named Henry Martin. He lived long ago. You can look him up, but he was a missionary to India and what used to be known as Persia, today's Iran, over in the area of Iraq. He once said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of mission. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we must become." Now, you'd expect that from a missionary, to say we all must be missionaries, but it's no less true. The heart of Christ is a missionary heart, and his followers had missionary hearts, and constantly following their Lord, and once he was ascended to the Father and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, moving and expanding the boundaries and the borders of the kingdom until all enemies are put under Christ's feet. And I'm just honored to have this man, Wesley, sitting in my dining room at my dining room table and talking to me about, and you, listener, about his work with the World Race and what God has been teaching him. He certainly has caught the spirit of mission. And if you just sit with him and for a few moments, you get the idea that this is the most important thing in his life, and rightfully so. So let's just jump in right now. You've heard enough about me or from me in my monologue, but Wesley, give us a word of greeting. And based on that quote from Henry Martin, maybe you can explain the driving force that is compelling you to go forth and conquer the kingdom of darkness through the World Race. Not once, but twice already. And from what I understand, brother, it can be quite intense and at times pretty dangerous. So, Wesley, take it away, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Pastor Scott, so much for having me.
You bet.
It's always just a blessing to be in your presence and just to spend time with you. And very thankful to be here and to share my heart and just to kind of expand on what I've been doing. And yeah, I'd love to get into that. So, what compels me? I think it's people and love. There's so many words I could say, but I think God's heart is people. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to serve the least of these, to make disciples, to go into the nations, to do those things. And I felt that calling in 2011, so quite some time ago now. And ever since I've been going. But that doesn't necessarily mean going out in different countries. It just means serving and just whatever that looks like, and making disciples. And so the biggest thing is people. That's really it. I'm here to serve and to love. And so that's really what I've been doing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, that leads into the second question I want to ask you. I mean, if it's about people, you certainly ran into your fair share of people, 11 countries in 11 months. Did you do the same 11 countries this time as you did in the previous world race?
So I'll start from the beginning.
Yeah, good.
In 2012, January, I went off and I went to 11 countries, obviously. This time around, I went to Central America, then I went to Europe, and then Africa, and then Asia. And then the second time around, I went to South America, and then I went to Asia as well, similar parts, and then Africa, but a completely different side of Africa. So the only three countries I've been to that were the same were Malaysia, Cambodia, and Thailand, and everything else was different. So at this point, I've been to quite a few places serving, and it's been incredible to see his creation and people of so many different cultures. It's so beautiful.
Oh my word. Well, what were your toughest challenges? I guess we can jump right into that right now because I'm thinking of that's a really intense schedule, 11 countries in 11 months. I mean, we're not talking about going from Georgia to Alabama. We're talking about major countries, some of them small, a lot of them major countries, but a lot of traveling. And you weren't traveling on cruise ships. You weren't traveling on jet airliners, for the most part. It was rugged in it, and it was outdoors, and backing up a little bit, you also had to train for this. They didn't just throw you into it. You trained for it. Maybe talk a little bit about your training for a few moments before we launch into some of your greatest challenges on the race.
Training is actually pretty intense. It was very spiritually, emotionally, physically demanding. In all those categories, it pushed you to the limits. And I guess it did prepare me as much as it possibly could for sending you out to 11 different countries. But yeah, it was, they make you eat food of all the different nations. They make you sleep in a bus with 40, 50 different people.
Oh, wow.
They make you sleep in community tents, and they just send you out in the woods one night and say, go camp out and make your own food. And it's rather intense, but they do a good job of preparing you for the journey ahead.
Where was your training at,
It was
Wesley?
actually in Georgia. It was in a beautiful place up on Lake Allatoona,
Oh, yeah.
and I guess around Cartersville. So out in the woods, country, it's really pretty up there, really nice.
What's the duration of your training? How long does the training last?
The training for that was 8 days.
Yeah.
So,
So it's got to be intense then. If it's just 8 days
yeah.
and you have to do all of that, wow.
Yeah, I wanted to sleep for about 3 weeks after I finished. Yeah, and it was also very cold. And yeah, it was freezing and it wasn't expected. So, it was intense.
So, after the 8 days were completed, did you have 3 weeks before you actually had to start the race, or what? Okay.
Yeah, we had a short break after training and into the race, and then we launched and took off to Guatemala. That was on my very first one. We went to Guatemala. So, yeah.
Right. Right. Well, you went this time in a little different context than you did in your previous text. You went as a team leader this go-round, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But let's talk about these challenges. Because, you know, Wesley, I'm expecting that God has positioned some listeners out there that are in your age group that are wondering, what do I do with my life, and how can I matter in my lifetime and in this world context? And I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking through you and hammering home to some hearts. And it may not be the young people themselves that are listening. It might be their parents who know that their kids are burdened and be able to share your testimony and the ministry of the world race with their kid. And so we need to not talk just about the mountaintop experiences, of which I know there are many, but some of the challenges. I don't want to say pros and cons of doing it, but there are some challenges. So speak to that for us. For Wesley Vickers, what did you find quite difficult?
Yeah, I would say physically, spiritually, and again, emotionally, there are challenges of all sorts. It's really never ending. You know, everything's on social media these days, and you typically see all the fun stuff, the adventures, the pretty places, and those sorts of things. But it's hard to actually portray and to post stuff about the really intense moments where, for example, physically, you're on a bus for 2 days straight in the middle of Africa, and it's actually raining in your bus because that's how, you know, bad they are. There's the roads are dirt. There's potholes everywhere. Your stuff gets stolen. It's the reality of it. You're not in the comforts of America. Yeah. And so being out in these foreign places, you really your dependent goes to God. And that's what it's about, I think. Also physically, sorry, I don't want to scare you moms out there if you're listening, but malaria was a big challenge. I got malaria contracted in South Sudan, and
that's how I started praying for Wesley Vickers. I didn't know who you were, but we were praying for you a couple years ago. The guys were telling me about this guy named Wesley who had malaria, and it was quite serious.
Yeah, so contacted it in South Sudan, and then it didn't actually hit me. The symptoms didn't hit me until I had flown to Thailand, because that was our next country after that. But I ended up spending 15 days in the hospital, had blood transfusions, lost a ton of weight, just very sick and almost died. But praise God that people like you were constantly in prayer for me. And
amen.
That's why I'm here, and it didn't scare me away from doing another one. So
no, it didn't.
And spiritually, you're just in some very intense places. Again, it's not like home. You're out there in the middle of the bush and wherever, Cambodia or Africa, and it's very just spiritually dark places.
Yeah,
where you're on the streets and there are prostitutes being sold on every corner, every little restaurant and bar. There's, you just walk by and you have to see and you witness and you see these women, and you can't really do a whole lot about it.
Dear God,
besides pray. Thank God there are people doing stuff, but in those moments it's hard to you don't have. You can't really do a whole lot besides pray. And so spiritually it's dark, but on my previous journey, it was also very spiritually transforming, because as believers, as people, as humans, we're all broken.
Yes.
And there's stuff we kind of need to walk through. And so I think that was the ultimate journey of my first world race, was just a transformation of my heart. And although I was going out to serve, I was having a spiritual journey of my own.
Yes.
And it was so beautiful because it propelled me into everything that was after that and what's still to come.
Yes.
And so just going to the really hard places and really just getting rid of all of Wesley and trying to, you know, have Christ formed in me.
Yes.
Because I believe that's what it's about, to lay yourself, to die to yourself, and to seriously be a servant for Him, to give you everything. And so walking through all your mess is very, very challenging, and you have people in your face calling you out, and the community, that raw community that you talked about.
Yeah.
There are people around you that don't let things slide. if you're walking in pride, they're going to call it out of you.
Whoa.
If you're walking in sin, they're going to say, no, get up and let's go.
Wow.
So
this isn't like a typical church
no.
Situation where we just put on our best faces from Sunday to Sunday and, you know, don't tell me your mess and I won't tell you my mess. Mm-hmm. We'll just praise Jesus together. This is getting down and dirty with each other in your own mess.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's about.
That's why they call it raw community, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
So
few of us have ever experienced that. You know, listener, I hope you're catching the Spirit of God speak through Wesley about how he said God's redeeming out of Wesley all that is Wesley. And that is a powerful promotion in itself for a venture like this. If you're thinking about doing something kingdom, or you want to pass this on to your child, or if you are a millennial yourself and you happen to be listening, I would pray that you would hear those words through Wesley. I know any enterprise I engaged in and invested in, I came out of it knowing that I learned more about myself and what was not of Christ. And that's what made those kind of enterprises and those ministries so profitable to me. It's amazing how that works. So again, you're listening to Wesley Vickers, who's just back from his second world race, and he's talking to us about the challenges that he encountered, and he's doing it quite eloquently, and I'm sure that there are some things that he's not feeling he can share. It might be that he's still processing those things himself, but I mentioned that he went in a different context this time. Wesley, you went this time as a team leader, or there may have been a different title that you went by. But your previous race, you were a team member. Maybe you can talk about what your role was this go-round, and tell us which one did you prefer, and then maybe what's expected of a team leader. Can you be a team leader on your first world race, or is that something you have to...
Kind of, sort of. Not in the context I was.
Yeah, yeah.
So overall, you have coaches, which are in the office. They're typically a married couple, always a married couple, who just have a lot of life experience. And they sort of invest in the squad and come out. And we also have a mentor in the office. So these are our two main leaders in the office. So they stay stateside. Sorry.
Yeah.
However, they do come out to our debriefs, which are every few months. Invest. However, the next line of leadership would be your squad leader, or as you're saying, team leader. The name for it would be squad leader, and that's what I was.
Good.
What you are, you're on the field the entire time with the squad. Typically, they only do it for 5 months, but I really felt the Lord calling me to do it for the entire time.
Wow.
Which was pretty intense, and it was very challenging. But I absolutely loved it.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it really allowed me to do what I'm passionate about. And as I said, I'm passionate about people, but I'm really passionate about discipleship.
Yes.
And so...
Oh, praise God.
And my ministry, it changed a lot this time around. It went from serving the ministries we partnered with to my main focus being the squad. And... as you know, missionaries aren't perfect. They got a lot of crap.
Really? Oh, no. Man, you just shattered my whole perception of what a missionary was.
Yeah. And so you think about all these people in their 20s, some in their 30s, coming together for the first time ever and having to spend every single day together. Mm-hmm. It can get a little bit messy. A lot of people don't like each other. A lot of people don't really... It's a challenge. Let's just say that. And so my main focus was... individually to really just invest in their lives.
Wow.
And also just to keep the community running and to set the atmosphere for the squad. And yeah, I was blessed with a co-leader. She stayed out for 5 months and then I continued on.
Dude, it sounds like you were a pastor. Just the way you described that, yeah. what the role of a shepherd is. It sounds like you were very much a pastoral influence.
Mm-hmm. So I still got to partner with all the ministries, but rather than just going to one country and staying at the same location for the entire month,
yeah,
I went and visited multiple teams within that country in the month. So I got to do a lot more traveling, and
yes,
I got to see a lot more places, which is really cool. But it just made an atmosphere where I could really invest in the entire squad as a whole, because there's 40 something of them.
Wow.
So there's a lot of individuals.
Well, I wish you could see Wesley as he's answering these questions. His eyes are watering up. You can just see the welling up in him of the love of this ministry and the love of cross-cultural ministry in general and discipleship, which we see so little of in America, so little of in our churches. It's getting better. There's a lot more focus and emphasis on this, but that's the one thing I love to hear about this ministry of the World Race, how you're not just popping in a village and then popping out a few hours later. You're staying, you're laboring, you're ministering, you're doing very much the same thing that Paul did, which happens to be where I have been in my recent quiet time with God. Now I'm on his first missionary journey, and the nuances of that, it's quite exciting, and I love to hear. I've had a chance to already sit with Wesley and hear some stories, but Wesley, tell us about something that you saw, sometimes perhaps when you saw God just show up, you know, when the atmosphere was maybe heavy and thick, and maybe a prayer meeting changed it, or you just in general just saw God do something godlike.
Yeah. I'd like to go back to my first World Race for one example, and then make a shift into something else. But so I'd never really experienced God show up supernaturally in my life, or in somebody else's life. And it was month two of my race, so February of 2012, and we were in a small village in El Salvador. And my current leader at the time, he had stopped us. We were about to go out to one of the small villages that the contacts constantly go to and invest in.
Yeah.
And we were going to go out and pray for people and just build relationships. And we got there and we were all excited, you know, first time getting out and going to talk to people and stuff. And so we jumped out and we all just split our second ways. And our leader, he said, "Stop, wait, what are we doing?"
Mm.
And he brought us back in and he said, "We need to spend some time in prayer."
Oh, yes.
And obviously prayer changes everything.
Yes.
And this is not only a transformation for my heart, but what I saw that day was people being led by the Spirit rather than just going out and saying, "Okay, what are we going to do here?" People were really in tune with the Spirit and he directed us. And I saw multiple healings that day, and spiritual and physical healings. I saw a blind lady see, which
hallelujah,
was just absolutely phenomenal. Just people in tears, and just such a beautiful side of the kingdom and the realities of it. And then that transformed my perspective of prayer for my life. I just really wanted to transform from praying occasionally to actually being prayerful in my life.
Yes.
And so that was a really big transformation. And then I think this time around, going back to discipleship, I think that the supernatural, it was so evident in the squad as a whole, and the way that I got to see each individual of my squad come alive in different capacities. Obviously, some people are further along, some people are actually on the squad discipling some, and it's how it works. It's people in different stages of life. But to really be able to walk by their sides and to see people come alive in Christ, and just to walk out of this thing a new person in Christ, to have rid themselves of so much and to just, to be newly formed and to just own it, you know, like walk in their identity.
Oh, that's huge.
So,
yeah.
And not saying that the journey's finished by any means, but it was such a beautiful start to what that is. And that journey in itself, 11 months, it has definitely set a lot of them up, including myself, for a miraculous life that God has prepared for me. And what he's going to do now that I took a leap of faith and they did too. And they said, "God, I'm yours. Show up." And he did. And
yes.
So just seeing that transformation is is more beautiful than anything. You know, healings and you know, the prophetic, and those things are great, but I think it's just, it's love, and loving people and seeing them come alive is the most beautiful thing, in my opinion.
You're making me want to go on the world race, and I'm a disabled old guy, man. Speaking of that, I know the focus is really young adults, and I see why. Are there older folks that are participants in the world race?
Right now, the age limit is 21 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, that's good. Good. That's a good broad range scale.
It's pretty good. And there are also married couples, which will come.
Nice.
And my first go around, I didn't have any couples on my squad. But this time, I actually got to lead three married couples.
So, you were the leader of three married couples.
Yeah. 24 years old, leading married couples in their 30s. So, pretty cool.
Only God could arrange that.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously did very well because you came back. Well, you said that you wanted to shift from the first year of your first world race, and where else have you seen God show up supernaturally, or where else do you want to speak to that?
Let me think for that one. Maybe pause it.
No, that's fine. I caught you off guard on that, and I'm sorry. It's my lack of experience as an interviewer, but I'm not going to pause it. We're just going to let this be, you know, you learned raw community. We're just going to do raw audio here. So God is really speaking through you, Wesley. You know, what's next for you, brother? What do you see God doing with your life in either the near future or beyond?
It's a great question, and I'm still walking in the unknown.
Yes.
The past 3 years, I've, again, been on two world races, spent 6 months at G42 Leadership Academy in Spain. I've been to 34 countries, so I've basically just gone. I haven't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, I met a beautiful lady.
Yes.
Her name is Danielle.
Feel free to talk about Danielle as much or as little as you need to.
She's incredible.
She's a beautiful young lady. I had the privilege of meeting her a couple weeks ago, and she has a heartbeat for the kingdom of God. And it's nice the Lord has brought you together.
Yeah. So that's just a blessing in itself. And she's moving here in October.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting news.
Mm-hmm. Very.
And then we're just going to kind of take it easy for the next year or so.
Yes.
Moving forward to marriage and those sorts of things.
Yes.
And I know we have some big dreams. But as of right now, we're gonna slow life down a little bit. We're going to be invested in the local community here and just be part of a small group or different things like that in a church. And
nice.
And work and focus on our relationship and then take a time of rest. And then after that, I know that we're both a little bit antsy to get out there again. And so it's going to be hard to keep me here, keep us here. And so we'll see what's next. I know it's going to be big, and we're going to start praying into that very soon as to what that looks like. But
well, I love your answer. Your answer is so dead on here, because the great physician, I believe when I hear the Lord for Wesley Vickers, I'm hearing the word Sabbath.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the word rest. This young man has been on two intense world races within a couple, 3 years of each other. And it takes a toll even on a young 25-year-old man. And there's some stuff he's got to process and work through. And quite honestly, folks, we here in the States, under the American church culture, could use the influence of a man like Wesley to show us the better way. What is your transition like, Wesley, from the world race, being on the road, meeting in this cross-cultural context, meeting all these wonderful folk, and then you come back to the States, which, you know, I am not bashing America. I love America. I'm grateful that God has put me in this wonderful place. But there is what missionaries do call a spirit of America, Americanism, the American dream, and it conflicts. It really does, doesn't it? It conflicts with the kingdom of God message, which is a message of subtraction, less of me, more of thee.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me about, you know, just be honest, be raw about your transitioning from that to here.
Yeah. It's been different every time because I've came home 3 times now from being overseas.
Yeah.
The first time around, it was very challenging. I had never even left the country before that first world race. And then after going to 11 different countries, being in some of the poorest places in the world, such as Uganda and South Sudan and Cambodia and just all over. Mm. And then coming home to America was quite a shock. Again, there's so much materialism and
right
and those sorts of things here, and it makes it very challenging to come back to. I didn't adapt well, honestly, and I lacked grace, but I know that I needed to grow in that. And
amen. Good.
And that kind of took me on the next journey to Spain, which is where it was. But
yeah,
the first time around coming home, it was very challenging. And I didn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, get me out of here now. And I try to love well and to serve well but I think I messed up a little bit, but I think there's grace for that. So it's okay.
There certainly is. And we're actually witnessing here that more of Wesley has been redeemed out of Wesley in this last world race.
Yeah.
Because now you're even saying, you know, if God is in this, I will remain here for a time and be content. There's your key word right there, content. And I love the man that I'm listening to be so young and to be growing in wisdom and in the intimate knowledge of Christ so deeply. And Wesley, it has been an absolute joy to have you sitting here talking with us today. I definitely want to talk more with you on our pastor's podcast and in coming months. We're going to be praying for you, over you, with you, and seeking the Lord with you and on your behalf for what he has for you. If you're interested, listener, in knowing more about the World Race, you can just go to their website. It's simply theworldrace.org. When I do get this podcast put up on my website, I will also put with it a beautiful promotional video that I found on their website, and that way you can learn more about it. But the website again for the World Race is theworldrace.org. And Wesley, thank you again for sitting and talking with us. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to ask you to just pray a brief prayer for us.
Yeah.
Before you do that, what word would you have for someone who is considering this? And this is not like, and there's nothing wrong with week-long church mission trips in the summertime. Those are necessary. Those are vital. But this is a bit more expansive and a lot more intense. 11 months, 11 countries. What would you say to a young person who might be sitting there and saying, I need my life to matter. What can I do? Perhaps it's this.
Yeah, there's something stirring in every one of us. And I think if you feel compelled or you feel anything like that, it's very simple. I say go. There's not much to it. Go. What are you afraid of? Just let go, take a leap of faith and do it. And you're going to be blown away by what happens next, because I could have never imagined that I would be sitting here with Pastor Squat reflecting on everything that I've done and everything that I've seen and experienced, and praise God for the places he's taken me and the things I've been able to witness. And not only that, but for the rest of my life and just who I am now. I'm blessed and I have the greatest life ever. So go, just go.
Well, you just heard a beautiful paraphrase of Matthew 28:19-20. Go, take that leap, you'll be blown away. Yeah. I think that's in so many words what Jesus was telling his followers. And by the way, it wasn't just meant for those that were there, the 11 that were gathered there on that hill just before he ascended. It's meant for all the followers of Christ. So hear that, beloved. Go. You heard it from Wesley, but you heard it from Jesus first. Go. Go. Wesley, take us out with a prayer, brother.
Yeah. Father God, I just thank you so much for just an opportunity to share and to just spend time with Pastor Scott and doing this podcast. Lord, we thank you for everyone out there listening. And God, I just pray that if there's something in their hearts right now that is stirring, that is just wanting more, God, that you would just whisper to them and just show them what that is, Lord, that you would just take them on a journey and let them experience the realness of who you are, Jesus. God, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day.
Yes.
And we just pray a blessing towards everyone and every person that we get to come in contact with, and may we be a blessing and love to them. So we thank you so much, Father, for just who you are and your incredible son, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, but not only dying, but for raising to life.
And thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we thank you and praise you, and just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. That again was Wesley Vickers, who I'm blessed to call my friend. Thank you again for listening to the Pastor's Podcast this go-round. We'll be in touch. We love you in Jesus' name. Selah, beloved.